good evening. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. May I have a motion to recess the regular business meeting to conduct the public hearing on the proposed 2021-2022 school budget? Mr. Montalto, seconded by Mrs. Drews, all in favor, passes 6-0.
Okay, good evening, everybody. We're going to give Dr. Daly a few minutes to set up the presentation. But as everyone knows, tonight is our annual budget hearing. The proposed budget will be presented to all Babylon taxpayers and residents next Tuesday, May 18th, between the hours of 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. And that vote will take place in person at the high school East Gymnasium. Residents should have received the budget newsletter and will shortly receive the required 6-day budget notice in the mail. Tonight, Dr. Daly will present the required 3-part budget, and we will then immediately open the floor to questions from community members. This proposed budget, I will say, presents the lowest tax levy within the last 10 years, coming in at 1.28%. So without further interruption, I am going to turn the microphone over to Dr. Peter Daly.
Thank you. Good evening. So on the screen, we have the budget broken down in major components, starting with salaries, employee benefits. You've heard myself, you've heard the superintendent talk about the percentage of the total budget that is represented by salaries and employee benefits. It's roughly 70%. That number wouldn't change much from district to district. It's what schools do. They are people-driven organizations. People are paid salaries. You go down, you see it broken down: equipment, supplies and textbooks, contracted services, BOCES, debt service, inter-fund transfers. You have the current 2020-2021 year and the proposed 21-22, the dollar change, and then the percentage change. So our budget, our 21-22 budget is increasing a total of $811,000 as a percent. That's 1.46%. Again, presented as a pie chart, the percentages that each of these areas represent, as you can see here, salaries, fringe benefits, basically 70%. And again, this wouldn't change district to district. So here we have the revenue and tax rate schedule. You've heard me talk about the budget being that two-sided process. On the one side, you have the expenditures. On the other side, you have the revenues. At the end of the day, they both should balance. So where is our revenue coming from? Our revenue is coming from state aid, other income, the bulk of which is the debt service payment for the Babylon Village Library. They have to pay us back for the project they have, just that they're paying back. We have the fund balance, 1.2 of appropriated fund balance. And then once again, we're going to use $200,000 from reserves. So the total fund balance would be 1.4 million. And then lastly, our largest source of revenue is our tax levy, property taxes. And that's roughly 80%. That's going to increase this year 1.28%. As the superintendent alluded to, in the 10 years of the tax cap legislation, that's the lowest tax levy increase in Babylon. Down at the bottom, this is the part that a lot of residents are always concerned with. Well, what does this all mean for the average home? Mathematically, the average home in Babylon is assessed value, not market value, at $4,300. So with our projection, with what our tax levy is going up, and right now with no change in the assessed value, the increase on an average home would be $127.67 for the year, or $10.64 per month. Now, I will tell you this, and it's just preliminary. We've received the tentative assessed value for next year on May 5th. That's increasing by half of 1%. So that number is going to be even lower. The tax rate or the average taxes will go up roughly 0.78%. So that's based on the increase in the assessed value. And here's our revenue and our distribution. You can see state aid, 17%, fund balance free, and tax levy, 79%. How have we fared in the 10 years of the tax cap legislation? Well, on the left side of this chart is what budget increases have gone up. On the right side, what have the tax levies gone up? And I compared Babylon versus all of Long Island and just Suffolk County. You could see it year by year. You come down to the bottom of the average. Babylon's 10-year average budget increase is 1.95%. Long Island, 2.38. Ironically, Suffolk, 2.38. What about the tax levy? Well, Babylon's tax levy over that 10-year period has averaged 2.34%, Long Island 2.04, and Suffolk 2.21. I would say the reason that that is slightly higher than the averages for Long Island and Suffolk have to do with the project renewal, the voter-approved capital construction project, 26.5 million. I just for some reason can't get that number right, but anyway. At some point, we had to start paying that back. When you introduce that principal and interest into the budget, that amount of money is exempt from the tax cap calculation. So it allows you to go over the 2% and still be tax cap compliant. And that's what we did in the years when you see the threes and 2.97s. Okay? And the other thing that we always like to point out is the percentage of yes votes, and they've been, the exception of maybe one year, they've been in the low 70s, which is always a great sign. So that concludes the presentation. A reminder for those viewing, May 18th, Tuesday, May 18th, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the East Gym of the high school is the vote date.
Okay, thank you. Is there any way we can open this up for community questions at this time on the budget presentation, the hearing that Dr. Daly just presented? We're taking questions on the budget hearing at this time only. If we have any residents out there who would like to ask a question.
Good evening, Dr. Daly. Thank you for your final budget hearing presentation. How are you feeling about this?
How am I feeling about it? I'm going to miss it so much, Mrs. Campagna.
Oh, sorry, I did not introduce myself. It's Mrs. Campagna. Hi, everybody. I would just like to see what kind of feeling you have about this tax cap and going forward. We're obviously currently in a economic issue across the country as well as in New York State, and you're talking about how we're experiencing our lowest increase allowable per that cap. I know that the joint efforts have been going about fighting that cap. The likelihood of that being removed now is probably slim. So what are your feelings as far as how we're going to be able to finance if this cap goes even lower in the future?
Well, as you stated, the tax cap is here to stay. It's hugely popular throughout the state. I think that how are we going to deal with it moving forward? I think we've already started to deal with it moving forward. I think it has to start with your increases in your collective bargaining agreements. Tax cap seems to have brought everything back to that number that we know that when 80% of our revenue is tied to the change, the annual change in the consumer price index. We have to recognize that on the expenditure side. And those areas that we have control of have to reflect that increase, that cap, that throttle on the growth. If it doesn't, our district and any other district will have some problems. So that's how we have to deal with it. We have. In the early stages, it was much different. You had the tail end of these negotiated agreements that, you know, their increases may have been higher than the CPI. They presented problems for some districts. We've managed through it, and we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, and so if we should have shortfalls in our budget increases in the allowable amount from tax levy, what is our current available unappropriated reserves that we have on hand, I guess, as of right now would be the because you can't estimate what it'll be in the future.
You know, what we need to do, ideally, when we're budgeting each year, we would like to be able to finish up at the end of each year with an amount as close as possible to what was appropriated in the prior year. There may be years where you don't, but they may be years that, you know, there were managed changes or there were unanticipated expenditures. You know, this is not an exact science. I think people doing my job wish it was more of an exact science, but unfortunately, and I think you know this by the nature of what we do, it's very difficult to sit here right now and predict with anything close to 100% certainty of where we will spend all of this money next year. There are things that still haven't been decided yet right now, particularly relative to, you know, special education, end of year evaluations. So we, you know, we do the best we can. And we have to always be prepared for contingencies because they happen.
Right. So what is the balance?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
So what is the balance in unappropriated cash that we have, or I'm not sure if that's the exact right word that I'm using. I think there was one time where you may have mentioned that.
I can tell you right now, I don't have that number in front of me, but it is 4% of this year's budget. We are by law allowed to carry in unassigned fund balance 4% of the following year's budget. We finished up last year with that 4%.
Okay.
Question, we're going to finish up this year with 4% of the 21-22 budget.
Okay, so it's right now it would be 4% of the 2021 budget that we would have for next year?
Right. That's right, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Okay. It would come right to the top.
Oh, they do. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. I have a motion to adjourn the public hearing and reconvene the regular business meeting. First, Mrs. Jarre, second, Mrs. Blasi, all in favor. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of April 12, 2021, the work study meeting of April 26, 2021, and the special meeting of April 27, 2021. First, Mr. Montalvo, second, Mrs. DeLorba. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes 6-0. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer and business office financial reports and the extracurricular fund report for March 2021. And the internal auditor's report for January 2021, February 2021, and March 2021. First, Mrs. Nolesi, second, Mrs. Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes 6-0. Superintendent's report.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I do have a lot to report on tonight, so just bear with my report tonight. The first topic I'd like to discuss are the opening plans for September. We're going to be getting the community involved in the next couple of weeks in this discussion. We're very excited about it. But let me begin by saying, now that we've all had our students back for a number of weeks here at the junior senior high school, the feedback has been incredibly positive. There's definitely a sense of normalcy in the junior senior high school. And I think that things could not be going more smoothly. And I must congratulate the staff and everyone who's worked so hard in making it all work. Additionally, we commend our K through six staff as well. These K through six teachers have been delivering a full-time in-person experience since September. So with that, I'm happy to say that our COVID cases have really dwindled down to almost nothing. And it's a credit to our community, our faculty, and staff for maintaining the health and safety of everybody. We all look forward to this year's celebrations as we ring in end of year events. The light is definitely brighter as each day passes. Which brings me to discussing our plans for September, with the district's aim in opening up the new school year as normal as possible. By way of background, school districts recently received another Department of Health amended guidance document, and that was dated April 27th. And that was regarding the reopening plans, with the state's focus of all schools throughout the state to return students to in-person learning. Well, while the April 27th amendment talked to new guidance, many of the updates in that document have been acted out here already at Babylon. However, there are some updates that I want to bring to the board and community's attention tonight, just so you know what some of those new guidance talking points were. One of them discusses the recent CDC DOH guidance stating that we no longer require physical barriers such as sneeze guards if our students can socially remain at appropriate distances. It also talks to districts being able to reduce the 6-foot distance to no less than 3 feet in classrooms and certain other areas. There are still instances in which the 6-foot distance must remain, such as eating, being in common areas, performing, etc. However, we want to lay out September's roadmap now and give our families a view on how September will look. For example, going down to spacing less than 6 feet. I will tell you, we're pretty fortunate here. We're able to keep a good 6-foot distance and get everybody back. And we're going to keep that in mind while keeping class sizes small next year, in case we ever had another flare up, we wouldn't have to close. But we do have the ability to bring down that 6-foot distance from student to student. We'll be looking at taking sneeze guards away, obviously, again, with input from constituent groups and community members, but they're giving districts the guidance that we're able to do that, okay? As I mentioned, our goal is to return having the elementary and grade school and high school return to as normal conditions as possible. And that would also mean realigning the elementary and grade schools where they're operating on the same hours as they did 2 years ago. And with that also comes the ability for a parent to put all of his or her children on the bus at the same time. So I'm going to be making the recommendation again with input that we align the buses back to the original runs from 2 years ago where they're consistent. That was just so much easier for families, and that is definitely going to be a recommendation. As I said, as normal as possible with September in mind, we would also like to begin strong in September with the ongoing idea of social emotional health and wellness days. In point days that bridge connectedness once again as we welcome back all students who might have spent this past year in virtual instruction. So these are just some of the things that we're going to be discussing in the next couple of weeks. However, the plan for such changes are requiring that districts throughout the state make sure that we gather feedback. Districts can't just make these changes without getting feedback from community members and employee groups. So therefore, this evening, I'm asking the board's permission if we could schedule the work-study meeting of May 24th to serve as the required public hearing that gives us the opportunity to define September's roadmap, as well as our vision of a return to normalcy for September. Additionally, even before the meeting of the 24th, we're going to be distributing a final survey to constituents, to parents, employees, and it is my hope that before May 24th, we have the results of those surveys. And I think by putting out the survey in addition to the public meeting on May 24th, we should have given everybody two very comprehensive opportunities for them to share their opinions. So I'm asking the board, are we able to schedule the work study of May 24th for the purpose of such a public hearing?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we will go ahead and plan for that. Yes, it will be a meeting with two joint purposes. That will also be a buildings and grounds discussion.
Very good.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Okay, on to celebrations. I'd like to talk about our valedictorian and salutatorian. Congratulations to Megan Flower, who is this year's salutatorian, as well as congratulations to Darby Dreyer, who has been named as this year's valedictorian. We will be honoring both young women at the June 7th Board of Education meeting. Very exciting. Congratulations, ladies. Also at the June 7th Board of Education meeting, we will be recognizing the slate of teachers who are being recommended to receive tenure, effective 9/1/21. I must also bring everyone's attention that tomorrow is National School Nurse Appreciation Day. It is the official day inside this district that we will celebrate our amazing school nurses. This year has certainly been an extraordinary one for them, from being contact tracers along with our principals to helping to conduct mandatory COVID testing. They have done it all. They are amazing. So I ask that everybody watching tonight, as well as everyone in this room, please extend a heartfelt thank you tomorrow to Ms. Grace McHugh, Ms. Nina Burke, and Ms. Martha Petrucci, as well as all of their health aides. On to additional celebrations. In the last couple of weeks, we celebrated the inductions of students who earned their place as the newest members of the National Honor Society and the Junior National Honor Society chapters here at Babylon High School. We congratulate these hardworking young men and women who have not just proven they are scholars, but that they can lead with self-confidence, influence, integrity, and positivity while serving the greater community. In the upcoming weeks, we look forward to in-person celebrations and inductions with their parents, honoring Tri-M Honor Society, the Art Honor Society, and Thespian Honor Society, with more information to follow from the high school. I'd also like to bring everyone's attention that this spring's musical is Pippin. The Theater Arts Department will proudly present live productions of this wonderful show, the first being on May 25th to senior parents, because we do have to still socially distance. So that evening will be specifically for the parents of seniors, with other dates open for parents of our underclassmen performers to also come in and view the show. It will also be live streamed, recorded for everyone else. I also want to tip my hat to all of our athletes this past season. Just a rundown about athletic competitions. We congratulate the boys soccer team. They won the Suffolk County B Championship. They defeated Center Moriches. The varsity girls soccer team won the Suffolk County B Championship, and they also defeated Center Moriches. We had Kayla Hayes, who represented Babylon in the Suffolk County Varsity Girls Cross Country Championship. And our own Kate O'Brien represented us in the Varsity Girls Swimming Suffolk County Championship as well. Not done yet. We have the Varsity Gymnastics team. They represented us well in the Suffolk County Team Championship. We had so many of our young ladies who participated in that, as well as girls volleyball, varsity volleyball. They represented Babylon in the Suffolk County Class C Championship. Unfortunately, we lost to Manitouk, but they did a great job. And finally, our varsity field hockey team, they represented Babylon also in the Suffolk County Class C Championship. So congratulations to all of our sports teams. And we're not done. We still have, you know, athletics going on. So other news, let's celebrate some end of year events. I will tell you, let's talk a little bit about the senior prom and graduation as updates, okay? I will tell you that Mr. Cerrone and I have met regularly with our senior class advisors to discuss senior class end of year milestone events, including the prom and graduation. Upcoming events include the senior parent dinner on May 20th, and I believe the rain date is May 24th. We have the BTA awards coming on June 10th, senior award night on June 17th, the prom on June 24th as calendared, and a traditional graduation here on Walden Williams Field on June 25th. So in terms of our seniors, special thanks and kudos to a wonderful team of senior parents. They have been instrumental on how they have been helping us, and we are just thrilled that together the school district and the students will enjoy a traditional senior prom on Thursday evening, June 24th. Now it's gonna be a little different this year. We are actually hosting it on Walter Williams Field. And it will probably be the most stunning prom we have ever seen. We are bringing in tents under the twinkling lights, equipped with a dance floor, a red carpet, photographer, DJ, buffet dinner, dessert. It is going to be spectacular. And what we decided to do, we figured let's host it on the field because the larger outdoor venue actually allows the students if they wanted to bring an outside guest, which some of the indoor venues, the catering halls would not allow. So I think everybody will be thrilled. And like I said, it just may be the most beautiful prom we've ever hosted here. So thank you to everybody who's helping to put that together. Additionally, we will be hosting a traditional graduation ceremony the following evening on Walter Williams Field, Friday, June 25th, in which, you know, obviously families will attend as well. The current state advisory, the guidance document that came out on April 27th does inform districts that visitors to such gatherings have to show proof of immunization and or a negative COVID test. I will tell you, we are hearing that just might be another update coming down from the State Department of Health that further amends those restricted guidelines. So we're not really, you know, we told parents this, I believe, but there might be an update to that relaxes those requirements. We're not sure yet. So we're sort of just sitting back and waiting until further guidance comes, which we are hearing through the grapevine might occur. Other in-person events early summer include June 1st. That will be our Triumph Art Thespian Honor Society induction. June 9th, we are having an incoming third grade orientation, as well as our senior high school musical. June 10th, also kindergarten orientation. These will be in-person events spaced out appropriately, you know, so parents can join in at school, but while we maintain, you know, health and safety measures. June 15th will be the grade 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 award ceremony. And June 17th, grade 12 senior awards. Okay, on to another topic, Meet the Candidates Night reminder. I want to thank, we have four residents who have decided to throw in their hats into the big ring and run for the two open at-large Board of Education seats that we have available come July. I want to bring to everyone's attention the flyer that went out to all families, sent out on Friday, as well as today regarding the upcoming Meet the Candidate Night tomorrow night, May 11th at 8 p.m. With that, and this is not your formal goodbye, but we want to thank our two wonderful trustees, Ann Donaldson and Trish Panay, for their years of dedicated positive service. Many, many years of dedicated positive service that have really championed Babylon schools and kept us on a very positive trajectory. Thank you. And we'll celebrate you again in June, but I wanted to mention something. Okay, I want to give a brief update about the Regents exams coming up in June. As many of you may be aware, the United States Department of Education did deny New York State's testing waiver request. So in order to meet the federal government's requirements, the New York State Education Department has canceled all Regents other than four that we will be administering statewide this June. The four Regents exams that will be administered are the English Regents, the Living Environment Regents, the Algebra 1 Regents, and the Earth Science Regents. So this is a year when students will have the option to sit for these or not. I want to talk a little bit about this because as a district, I will tell you, we are urging the students to sit for these exams. By sitting and taking these exams, there really is a no harm, risk-free, no stakes opportunity. Because if they're enrolled and if they're passing these classes, and if they sit for the exam and they get a great grade, they have the option of putting that grade on the transcript. If they have a grade that they're not happy with, they also have the option of receiving an E exemption on the transcript. So it's really not hurting the students. I will tell you, at this time, it remains unknown how opting out of the June Regents could play out at the college admissions table. And that's why we're pretty much saying, you know, if you're on the fence of taking it or not, you have nothing to lose by taking it. Because if you do well, it gets reported on your transcript. And sometimes it could come down to something as simple as that. College admissions make decisions. You know, they compare students within the same high school who have applied to that college and university. It is the honest reality of how competitive the process is out there. So I would encourage, sit for the exams. That is our stand as a district. And the same goes for AP. You know, we've completed week one last week of AP exams. And this week we started week two of advanced placement testing. And all is going extremely well. Students have been testing at St. Joseph's Church in Nolan Hall. Testing wrapped up last week and will continue until next Monday, May 17th. So currently we have AP Psychology, AP Language, AP Music Theory, AP Biology, AP Environmental Science, and AP Computer Science Principles. Now, one of the things that changed last year with the Common App gives the applicants the ability to put in the AP scores. That is a change that happened last year, not this current season, the 1920 school year. And, you know, that's another data set that college admissions now is obviously looking at. So we've seen in a very good way, a large majority of our students who have sat and taken the AP exams this year again. We've had a very, very good positive turnout of test takers. And as a district, you know, we did decide to hold these exams in person. And the model has really proven that our students seem much more comfortable taking these exams in person compared to last year online, where the AP, you know, the College Board was faced with a lot of issues in the administration of those exams. So overall, this season has been very familiar, pleasurable as an experience for them. So I just wanted to bring that out to the table too. Everything is going very well with advanced placement exams. Let's talk a little bit about this summer. We do have the SCOPE Summer School Enrichment Program that we're excited to be hosting once again. It will be housed at Babylon Elementary School. It takes place between July 6th and July 30th. It will again offer up to two sessions of project-based enrichment workshops for interested families, as well as will offer a program that pairs academic intervention with a fun enrichment opportunity to our most struggling learners based on progress monitoring data that we've collected at my request at the fall, the midwinter, and now spring benchmark seasons. We feel that this will be a focused program offering all students both enrichment as well as more needy students, you know, the opportunity to gear up for September and succeed. So with that being said, the program is also very sensitive to building upon social emotional connections as we lead into the summer and fall 2021. So we're also going to be reaching out to our virtual learners and see if they want to participate. Okay. I also want to bring everyone's attention to the scope before and after school program. The program registration for before and after care has been on the website for some time. We sent it out to families, I believe, back in March. If you are a family that needs childcare for the 2021-2022 school year, please check out the registration form. You can find it under the district tab. Open registration for next year began actually on May 1st, and we encourage all families who need before and after school childcare to register today, register early. Okay, and the final thing I do want to report about tonight. This past year, the district engaged with an outside safety consultant group that conducted a very comprehensive safety and security assessment. That group helped us pinpoint improvement opportunities for individual school buildings as well as the district as a whole. They provided us expert guidance and have helped us prioritize those changes that will be reflected in updated school and district-wide safety plans that we must adopt as a board for the 21-22 school year. We will be reconvening the district-wide safety team in late May for the purpose of reviewing these changes to the district plan. That has to be followed by a 30-day comment period prior to summer adoptions. Okay, so Altaris, our consultant group, did a terrific job, and we will be getting our district team together to review those recommended changes at the end of May. And that's all I have for tonight.
A lot, Mrs. Rousey. Sorry. No, it's great. Just before we leave this, I just want to clarify two things, Mrs. Rousey. So we talked about next year's reopening and going back to normal. That means that our high school will return to its normal schedule with normal lunch periods, normal 9 periods.
That is the plan.
Okay. Yes. All right. So that was my first. And second, when you spoke about the amazing amount of events that will be happening in the next few weeks, graduation specifically, there were a couple of questions. Will there be limits on numbers of family members? Do we know that yet?
There might be. We're not 100% sure. We need to see if guidance even changes before then.
Right.
Right now, there might have to be a limit of, you know, a couple of, or a few people each student. We're not sure yet. So as time comes closer, we will definitely have the principal get that information out.
Okay, thank you. Anyone? Okay, thank you. On to committee reports. Audit committee?
I have nothing to share with you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Donaldson. Finance committee, Mrs. Jurz.
I do have nothing to share tonight except to encourage everyone to come out and vote on the budget.
Thank you, Mrs. Jurz. Buildings and grounds, Mr. Montalto.
Yes, as we spoke earlier, we will be having our meeting on the 24th at 7.
Thank you, Mr. Montalto. Technology, Mrs. Noesi.
Hi, yes. So technology is getting ready for all of the work that will be going on for the summer. A survey has gone out to staff in regards to instructional technology and needs. They will be looking at those results. They are currently preparing for the device collection plan, and information will be going out to families regarding that in June.
Thank you, Mrs. Noesi. Curriculum, Mrs. Willerba.
Yes, hi, everyone. We met last Wednesday the 5th, and we spent the meeting, Mr. D'Amico went over all of the testing that was going on and the policies and everything else coming down from the state. I also have the policy committee, since Mrs. Panay is not here, so I'll just go into that. On April 26th, the policy meeting was convened to discuss gender-neutral restrooms. Such gender-neutral restrooms shall be clearly designated with signage on or near the entry of each facility. With 81 such restrooms in the district is in compliance. The first reading will be held tonight.
Thank you for both of those, Mrs. DeLorba. Okay. New business. May I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 15? First, Mrs. DeLorba, seconded Mrs. Jers. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes 6-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 15? Mrs. Jers, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? Passes 6-0. Okay, other business. We would like to let the public know that beginning July 1st, provided guidance doesn't change, Board of Ed meetings will be open to in-person attendance. This timing coordinates with children not being present in the building and alleviates the constraints of our custodial staff to sanitize and reset instructional spaces on meeting days. And more information will be forthcoming. Do we have anything from representatives of organizations? Oh, I'm sorry, is anyone else okay in the business? I'm sorry. Okay, nothing? Okay. So we will be taking questions and comments from visitors. Please use the raise your hand feature.
Hello, good evening. This is Fumi Otomo speaking.
A little bit.
Hi. Just quick.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Great. How are you?
I'm very good. I just wanted to follow up about all the orientations and awards. You didn't mention seventh grade orientation. Is there going to be one?
Oh, yes, there is going to be one. I just don't have the date for that yet.
Oh, okay.
Yep, but there will be one in which we invite parents in as well. I just have to get the date for Mr. Cerrone. I'm not familiar with the dates yet that he and Mr. Goldberg have scheduled together.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. That was my only question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful job you did too with Park Month.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if you saw the science fair also.
Absolutely. They were both wonderful. And thank you and your whole team for organizing those events.
Well, the principals really helped out too, and the teachers, and you know, it was great that we were able to do it. So thank you for thanking me.
Take care.
And good luck to Ms. Donaldson and Ms. Panay. Thank you for all your years of service.
That's very nice. Thank you so much.
Anyone else?
Okay. All right. Mrs. Campagna?
Yes, good evening. Mrs. Rossi, I just want to revisit the Nurses Day. You said tomorrow, May 11th. I just want to confirm, because for the PTA, I had it documented as...
I'm sorry, it's the 12th. It's May 12th.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
It's May 12th, I think, Wednesday.
So it's Wednesday, May 12th. Okay, yes. So great. So we will try to see what we can do to get some acknowledgement for them. We were successful in rolling out, the PTA was successful in rolling out a teacher's appreciation last week as well at K through six. So I'm not sure if you got a chance to see some of those pictures with the...
Beautiful. We sent yes, them. They were so lovely. Thank you for recognizing them. It means a lot.
Excellent. Okay. I think that was all I had. I may have had one or two others, but I have to run anyway. And I know this was a long meeting. So thank you for all your updates too, Mrs. Rossi.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Future board meetings. Monday, May 24th, 2021, we're sitting meeting at 7:30, and we said we will be, Mrs. Rossi, that meeting will be the
public hearing, correct? And the facilities and
grounds. And Monday, June 7th will be a regular business meeting. May I have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Jarrow, seconded by Mrs. Malesi. All in favor? Passes 6-0. Thank you. Have a great night.